It was an ordinary day in Bethlehem. People went about their daily tasks as usual. You could hear the ring of the stonemason's hammer, and then the more gentle chip, chip of the chisel as he worked the piece of stone into a beautiful statue for the town square. Nearby, a young woman sat at her weaver's loom, expertly moving the shuttle back and forth, creating a colorful piece of fabric that would eventually be sold at the market to make a fine garment. She would put her shuttle aside soon and go home for a well-earned meal. Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol, and it's so good to be together again.
And I'm Tammy. It's Christmas time, and Carol and I are going to share with you the story of Christmas Eve in the little town of Bethlehem. Grab a cup of tea and sit down if you can as we walk through the night before it all began.
If you listened carefully, you could hear the soft musical sounds of the bells on the necks of some nearby goats, so that the goat herd knew when they began to wander too far. And in the distance, the gentle baa of sheep as they were following the shepherds to fresh pasture for the night.
Roman soldiers seemed to be everywhere along the main street, keeping watch over the happenings in the town. Normally, the task was an easy one because there were only a few hundred people to keep an eye on in this small village. But this was not a normal time, and they had been ordered to keep watch for any stirrings of uprisings against their powerful emperor.
As the day wore on and the crowds grew, not many people were aware of a donkey making its way through the streets. Riding on the donkey was a young woman, obviously very heavy with child. She looked as though her baby could come at any time. Walking beside her, with his arm protectively behind her, was a well-built man with a kind but worried face. They had already called at several places of lodging, but had found none. They would not normally have taken such a long journey at this late stage in the woman's pregnancy, but they had been forced to return to this town when the Emperor Augustus had sent out a decree. Everyone was to return to their own ancestral town to register and be counted.
Finally, they approached yet another inn, where the innkeeper told them the same story. There were no rooms, as so many people had come back for the census. But when he saw how tired the man looked and how pale this beautiful young woman looked, and she was obviously close to needing a place for the birth of her baby, he offered them the use of a cave in the hillside beside his inn, where the cattle would shelter on cold nights. At least there, they could be out of the chill air and make themselves comfortable on the fresh hay that had been gathered for the cattle that day. The man and the woman looked at each other with relief and smiled.
Everyone had gone about their business that day with no idea that an amazing event, a world-changing event, was about to take place in their town. An event that would make their little known town famous and change lives the world over. Some would be amazed, others would be shocked, and still others would become very angry. So who were these two people? And why had they come to Bethlehem, unnoticed by the local people? Yes, we know already that they had come for the census, but there was a much greater plan, a much bigger purpose for their coming. In God's Word, the Bible, in the Old Testament part, written long, long before this time, about 700 years before, the prophet Micah said, "But you, Bethlehem of Judah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times."
Another prophecy from God's Word, from the prophet Isaiah, tells us exactly what this world-changing event was. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." That's right. It was the birth of Jesus. The name Emmanuel is just one of the names of Jesus. It means God with us. God with us. No wonder this would be a world-changing event.
Our story continues from God's true word, told by Luke. He tells us that while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them.
So who were this mother and father? And why was this baby so special? Well, let's go back to about 9 months before. God's word tells us something unique about this mother and baby, something that has never happened to anyone else in all of history. The Bible tells us that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. "Greetings, favored woman," said the angel. "The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
Mary was confused and troubled by the news until the angel told her God's plan. But what about Joseph? Well, at first, Joseph was very upset to find that his fiancée was pregnant, and he knew it was not his baby, because they had not yet had physical relations. They were not even yet married. So God, in his great mercy, sent an angel to Joseph. And this is what God's word tells us. Joseph was a good man and did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
So, let's go back to Bethlehem. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a huge host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
You know, it seems to me that every time I read or hear this story, it's just like it's for the first time. And it all happened just as the prophets said hundreds of years before. And each thing happened just as the angels said it would. When the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, when the angel spoke to Joseph, and when the angels told the shepherds about the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord, born in Bethlehem that day.
We have a special guest here with us today. She's going to share about how she learned that Jesus is both God and man.
Thank you, Tammy and Carol. Hello, it's lovely to be with you today. My name is Claire. I grew up in a Christian church, and I always heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was and is truly divine. He could do things only God could do, like bring dead people back to life. He could forgive sins. Only God can do that. And now he's in heaven, Lord of the universe. But I didn't hear so much about Jesus also being truly human. Over time, I have come to understand more about Jesus as a man. A friend of mine worked in a maternity unit in Australia. Many of her patients were Australian Aboriginal people. For them, anything about the female body and how it worked, or things like pregnancy, were women's business, and they could not talk about them with men. Often the nurses had to find female doctors to talk with these women, because they couldn't discuss these matters with male doctors. In this culture, and in many others, this sort of women's business is a taboo subject, and some cultures think it's dirty or unclean. Just the other day, we sang a Christmas carol, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," and one line stood out to me. We sang, "Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb." Abhor means to despise or detest something. Jesus did not despise women's business. He spent 9 months growing in the womb of a woman. My friend told me that once she was on night duty in the maternity ward. She felt more confident after she helped to deliver a few babies, and she understood in practice how a baby is born. Then she suddenly realized that Jesus was born in just the same way. As she watched a mother with her new baby, she said she was amazed to think that Jesus followed this natural process. God became flesh. What a wonderful thing! Have you seen nice nativity scenes and Christmas plays about Jesus being born in a stable in Bethlehem? They often look very clean and pretty. But let's imagine taking a walk to a rural village in a far country. Buffaloes are tied up at the side of the road. Often the people have to be careful where they step as they walk along. At night, the cows and buffaloes are put in a shelter along with goats, and they smell really bad. They aren't nice, clean places. Just think, Jesus was born in a place like this. It makes me realize Jesus could have easily got tetanus from this contact with cow manure, and so could his mother, Mary. They didn't have tetanus vaccinations at that time. Where we live, there are health education posters encouraging women not to get married before 18 years of age and to wait until they are 21 before they have their first child. This is because teenage mothers are more likely to have problems for themselves and their babies. So I think Mary was probably a high-risk pregnancy too, as a young mother of probably around 16. We know that babies born to refugees are much more likely to get sick and die. Did you realize Jesus was a refugee in Egypt before his first birthday? The little family had to leave their home country because they were going to be killed if they stayed there. This all made me realize that God did not shield Jesus from the realities of life on earth. God sent Jesus to become a baby and face the same risks as any baby born at that time. What a wonderful thing that our Savior came from heaven and took on a human body. Jesus was truly human as well as truly divine. This means he was one of us. He showed us how to live day by day. God didn't just give us laws. He gave us a real life example of how we should live. We can read about what Jesus said and did in the Bible, and that teaches us how to act. Jesus was one of us, so he could die as our representative. He was the perfect man. He didn't have any sins of his own, but he died on behalf of all of us who are not perfect at all. Jesus was truly human, so he completely understands what our lives are like. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all the ways we are, though he didn't give in to those temptations. He understands, so he can help us in our times of trouble, and he can speak to God his Father about us. I'm so glad to know Jesus was a real man in a real body, and he understands my life. I was thinking about the fact that God decided to come in a human body. I suddenly thought, that means that our bodies are good. Sometimes we think that only our spirits matter and our bodies are a bad thing. But no, listen to these words from God's Word, the Bible. It says, "Don't you know that your body is like a temple for God's Holy Spirit? God's Spirit lives in you and is a gift from God. You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. So use your bodies for God's glory." What might that mean? If our bodies are a gift from God, I think we need to look after them. Keep them clean, eat the healthiest food we can, exercise, get enough sleep, look after any illness or injury we have. But it's more than that. We need to use our bodies to serve God and other people. When you are kind or honest or loving, that brings glory to God.
Thank you so much, Claire, for sharing with us today. It's always good to be reminded that we need to take care of the bodies God has given us, and especially to remember that Jesus had a real body, just like ours. He felt warmth and cold and pain, just like we do.
He also had feelings, just like ours. He felt sad when his close friend died. He even cried. He felt happy when the mothers brought their little children to him to be blessed. He felt angry when the people used his father's house, the temple, in wrong ways to make money for themselves. He felt compassionate when the huge crowd of people who had followed him to hear his message were hungry. And so he fed them all, thousands of them.
And Jesus has compassion for us. He loves us and wants to give us hope and a reason to live. That's why he came all those years ago as a human baby. and yet he was the Son of God. He came to give his life for us.
We've come to the end of our special time of sharing thoughts about Christmas today. And we hope that as you celebrate Christmas with your friends and family, or even by yourself, that you will remember that Jesus loves you and wants the best for your life. He wants you to trust him to take care of you. Let's close today by praying and saying thank you to him. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth as a little baby and growing up here in just the same way as we did, so that you understand us. Father God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to live here on this earth and show us who you really are. As we celebrate Christmas, may we show your love and compassion to others in the same way that you have shown it to us. And we pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
As always, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us at this station or at TWR Women of Hope. Our email address is twrwomenofhope.org. That's twrwomenofhope.org.
If you've missed a program or would like to hear one again, go to our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit us on our Facebook page. Goodbye, and God bless you at this special Christmas time.